This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And at 9:05, it's time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Bruce Rubb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By Security National Bank with locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. By Midwest Basement Technologies, call 618-372-7077. By the Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro. By Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light duty towing of Litchfield, and by Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. Here are the guys, it's Tim Mize and Uncle Ralph.
Tobinat, thank you very much, and welcome to WSMI Sports Saturday. Hard to believe the last Saturday of June, as this month has just flown by, Uncle Ralph, and we got a little Independence Day celebration coming up.
Yes, we have, and in your case, Timbo, if you want to be a June bride, you haven't got much longer to get it done.
I'm running out of time.
Yeah.
Still got a couple days.
Yeah. Yeah, if you was in California, well, you know, you could go both ways, so to speak.
Hey, times, they are changing, right?
Yes, yes. Oh, lordy, they are changing.
Joining us in studio, speaking of change, is Mr. Louis Lang, as he is going to sit in with us here on this final Saturday of June. Of course, if you have gone to any high school sporting event, whether it be in the fall, winter, or spring, odds are you have seen Louis one way or the other officiating something. And there's, what, 365 days in a year. How many days out of the year are you officiating at least one ball game somewhere in some form?
Well, I pretty well take Sundays off. That's my church day. I do not officiate usually on Sundays, but Monday through Saturday, I'm usually on the field or on the court somewhere.
So we're basically talking 6 days out of essentially every week of the year.
Usually, except the summer, I take a few days off in the summer. I kind of get burnt out during the school year because once football starts, I start football. In fact, junior football league in this area starts August 10th this year. So about 6 weeks away, I'll be on the football field for junior football. And then, I basically go through Memorial Day, because this last year as I had a super sectional in softball down at Wren Lake College. So basically from August 10th to, May 29th or so, I'm somewhere except on Sundays on the field or on the court.
Put you on the spot a little bit, Louis. When we talk about high school sports, in your opinion, your own opinion, what is the most difficult one for you to do? Baseball, softball, football, basketball, or do you have anyone you think is any more difficult than the others?
Well, my favorite sport would have to be softball, because I've been to state as an official in softball. The most difficult one, I would say, would be football, because you don't know what kind of weather you may get in. And they play in the rain, snow, sleet, hail. As long as it's not lightning, basically you're on the football field. But I enjoy all of them, and if I didn't enjoy them, I wouldn't be out there, and I'd do it for the love of the game and for the kids. It's definitely not for the money, the way gas prices are at the present time.
No, I know that, and I would tend to agree with you in never officiating, but doing games and stuff. Football, you got 22 guys out there. You're on a level with them on the playing field as far as visibility and stuff, and I can imagine where sometimes being blocked out or whatever would make it difficult.
And every year I get older, Uncle Ralph, and these kids stay the same age, 16, 17, and 18 years old. And it does take a little bit more getting in shape at the first of the season to be able to keep up with them.
So what you're saying is that that 100-yard field probably is now 150 yards.
Well, I think it's about 200. But it does make a difference. It really does. But you have to be in shape, because, I mean, they can come right at you, and you've got to attempt to get out of the way.
Because there's going to be players, there's going to be coaches, and there's going to be boatloads of fans in the stands say, hey, he wasn't in position to make that call.
That's true. That happens more than you ever know.
And, Louis, I would think you're talking about what sport is most difficult to officiate. Football as a whole, like the whole crew, I could see that being very challenging. But to me, I would think basketball would be more of one of the difficult things to officiate, just from the standpoint, constant motion in the game. There's no stop to the game, and it just happens so fast.
It definitely happens fast, and you have to be on your A game every night you go out, whether it's a junior high game or a college game, because, I mean, you may be going on a fast break, and all of a sudden they steal the ball, and you go back the other direction, and sometimes my knees are telling me that we don't need to go back so quick, but, you've got to do what you got to do to try to cover the game to the best of your ability.
And plus, just due to natural causes, I guess you would say, the game of basketball, and I'm speaking of the high school level, has become much more physical and certainly much faster.
Oh, definitely. The kids have, they're in the weight room. Basketball is a year-round sport now, and whereas years ago when I was in high school, summertime was baseball and softball. And now summertime is baseball, softball, basketball, football, all these camps and everything that is going on at the present time.
Are there officiating camps in the summer?
There are officiating camps, and you're required to go to a clinic once every 3 years now to keep your certification with the IHSA, and they do recommend that you go to camps, especially three-man camps now on the basketball court to, get a feel for the game, and especially the new officials. The clinics and the camps are good for them.
And it's something we'll talk about more throughout the hour for young people maybe who are interested in getting in to officiating, but if someone is just officiating, like, say, a JFL football game, what type of certification is required for that?
Well, the JFL, the South Central JFL League, requires that one certified official be on the field. The other two guys could be even you and Uncle Ralph if you'd want to do it.
That'd be trouble.
But they do require one certified, but I cover the Litchfield and the Hillsboro JFL. I do all the hiring of the officials for those two towns, and I have all three certified officials on the field with me. It makes you feel more comfortable, and what the other guy is going to call and what to look for. If you work with them on a Friday night and you come back on Saturday morning at 11, you pretty well have a good feel and know what's going to transpire.
We talk about knees barking in basketball. I mean, that's a pretty short turnaround to officiate some football games.
Oh, it is. But, hey, you do what you got to do, and you move on, and you love what you're doing.
Now, I guess you always get out of the way, right? Like, you've never gotten ran over, stampeded?
I got ran over one time, and that was a long time ago. And if I get ran over this year, who I'm going to call the first one that I'll call and blame it on. But
I'm knocking on wood. It's not my fault.
In your own experiences and setting up schedules, I guess, is my question. How far in advance, year-wise, do you know what your schedule will be, a year, 2 years, or what? How long ahead do they schedule your games?
Well, I'm pretty well booked for the next 2 years in basketball, baseball, and softball. Football, I'm already booked pretty well through 2020, 7 years out at the present time. And I had a school call the other day wanting to go 2020 to 2025, and I said, let's hold off on that for a little bit. But you at least go 5 to 7 years out in football, because that way they have the athletic directors and or coaches obtain the crews that they want for possibly a big game that they think may be a big game or whatever. But I am scheduled through 2020 in football.
Caufiene's own Louie Lang joining us here on WSMI Sports Saturday. We need to get to a break. We're back with more following these messages.
Are you spring cleaning? Ever wonder how to tackle the stacks of statements and bills? Sign up for Security National Bank's online and e-statements and view them in your internet banking or download them from our secure site. You can then tackle that stack of bills by using our bill pay, which is free when you sign up for e-statements. Call your local branch to find out more information or sign up today. Security National Bank, big enough to serve you, small enough to know you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing has moved to the Goodyear building behind Denny's in Litchfield. Kurt's has commercial Goodyear tires and complete exhaust, and now is a Hertz car rental agency. And, of course, heavy and light-duty towing. Kurt's crew cab rollback can transport your family and your car. Kurt's 24-hour towing can tow anything from your semi to your motorcycle. When you need a tow, remember 324-2400. Kurt's 24-hour towing in Litchfield. Remember 324-2400.
And at 9:14, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Cloudy and cooler for today. There is a 70% chance for some rain. Expect a high of around 75 degrees. Cloudy skies with a slight chance of rain for tonight. We'll have a low of around 60. Heading into Sunday, cloudy skies. There is a chance for some rain. Expect a high Sunday of around 75 degrees. Extended look at the forecast Monday through Wednesday. Partly cloudy skies. There is a slight chance for some showers Monday and Tuesday. Expect highs in the mid-80s. The lows will be in the mid-60s. At 9:14, we have a temperature reading of 73 degrees. And the weather forecast is brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Sports Saturday continues right after this.
Tired of always having to clean up the basement or crawl space after a rain? You need to call Midwest Basement Tech for a permanent solution. If it's leaking, cracking, buckling, or sinking, Midwest Basement Tech is the company to call. 1-800-848-9805. Serving Central Illinois for over 30 years with local service techs and free estimates. Call now, 1-800-848-9805, or on the web at MidwestBasementTech.com for money-saving coupons and your chance of receiving free tickets to watch your St. Louis Cardinals play at home this season.
It's Illinois Reads, the first ever statewide literacy program that introduces Illinois readers of all ages to books by authors with Illinois ties. From Laurie Degman's One Zany Zoo to Emily Giffen's Something Borrowed, Illinois Reads promises to bring a reading state of mind to every man, woman, and child in Illinois. Learn more at IllinoisReads.org.
Hi, I'm Cinda Klickna, president of the Illinois Education Association. On behalf of our 133,000 members, the IEA is proud to sponsor this message.
Are you looking for a nice pre-owned vehicle for a great price? Then try Cruise Enterprises.
Do you need a top-class service department for your car or truck? Then you need Cruise Enterprises.
We all know that buying a car is an important decision in one's life, so why not go to the folks you trust?
You can trust Cruise Enterprises in Girard and Verdon. They have the pre-owned vehicle that you're looking for.
Or if you have a problem, just take your car to them and have one of their excellent mechanics fix the issue.
Cruise Enterprises in Girard and Verdon for all your automotive needs.
And at 9:16, Sports Saturday continues once again. Here's Tim Mize and Uncle Ralph.
Tobinat, thank you very much. Back here on WSMI Sports Saturday. And Louie Lang is in our WSMI studios this morning. Of course, Louie, a local official from Coffeen. And Louie, we were talking during the break, and it'll be a good thing to talk about right now. In Major League Baseball this year, we have seen a number of not just blown calls, because blown calls, quote-unquote, will happen. That's just the way that it goes. But we've seen instances where Major League Baseball umpires have not known the rules. They allowed, I think it was a game with the Houston Astros, they allowed a pitcher to come out of the bullpen, throw his warm-up tosses, and then allowed the manager to take that pitcher out without ever having faced a batter or thrown a pitch, which you cannot do, and they let it happen. The other team came out and argued, and didn't matter. They stuck with their decision, and those are just, quite honestly, simple things, simple rules that you sometimes, I guess, take for granted that a professional umpire is going to know. And I guess, Louie, my question to you would be, how hard is it, or what's the challenge? How do you remember all the rules for all the different sports that you do?
Well, I've been officiating for 37-plus years at the present time. And, you know, I thank God that I have the memory that I do have right now. When I walk on the football field, those rules pop back into my head. And when I walk on the basketball court, I don't reach for my flag, getting ready to throw a 15-yard holding penalty. But you do have to stay on top of them. You do have to read the rules books, because the National Federation of High School Sports changes rules on a yearly basis. You do have to keep on top of them. And, I mean, you can read your rule book, you know, this year, and then I could pick it up next year, and there'll be some changes in there. But you do have to stay on top of it, and you do have to be very familiar with the rule book.
And it's those little, it's the little nuance rules, you know. It's not the fair, the foul, or like in football, you know, not necessarily a hold or an offsides, but some of the little things that will happen, whether it be like an illegal formation or just, you know, maybe the somebody's not covered up. Those little types of things, there's just so much that goes into it that I think a lot of times from a non-official perspective, it's easy to sit up in the stands and just scream and holler. But there's a lot going on down there.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, one rule that really comes to mind is with the high school and ASA softball is your flex player and your designated player now. You can actually, you know, go back and forth with those two terms. And, you know, it's very confusing in the beginning. But now that I've been officiating those probably 7 to 10 years with those kind of changes, it pretty well comes back to your mind. But sometimes you even have to try to help a coach get straightened out because they get confused also.
What's the difference?
Well, you can flex player, you know, can basically, that's what it is a flex. The designated player, you know, has a particular spot. So, you know, usually the flex player may bat for the pitcher or some aspect like that. But, you know, it was very confusing when it first came out. And, you know, you carry your cheat sheet with you to make sure you're doing it right. But it can be very confusing at times.
You mentioned a while ago, Louie, talking about holding in football, and you mentioned in basketball. It's a good thing they don't have that rule in basketball because everybody would be gone at the half.
There's a good possibility on some of those games. That's
the
true.
Way they hang on to shirt tails and arms and stuff.
Can't call them all, right?
No, but, right.
That's right.
No.
And that's why aggressive play, whether you're watching in the stands, sitting on the bench, or probably even officiating the game, you always like to see aggressive play.
Yeah.
Exactly.
As long as it's clean.
Right.
And as long as you're consistent, you can't say a word. You know, the fans, coaches,
yeah.
broadcasters, whoever, cannot say anything. But as long as you're consistent, you call – if you're going to call a pitch 1 inch on the outside corner, you know, for one team, you got to call it both ways.
Yeah.
Be consistent, you know, and that's what I try to do.
And that's the thing I would imagine about doing baseball behind the plate is probably different than any other sport when you're an official because – it's so subjective. I mean, you know, everyone kind of has their own strike zone and the own way they want to do it. And some umpires will say, well, Terry Tote's one of them. I know he said it on the air before. When he was doing games, you know, if you can set up and you can hit that, you know, 3-4 inches off the outside corner, if you can hit it consistently, I'm calling it a strike.
Well, and coaches realize that, too. They tell their players you have to adjust to the umpire's strike zone. You know, it may be different today than what it was yesterday.
Yeah.
But you have to adjust. And as an umpire, as long as you're consistent, as I said, you can't say a word.
You see so many umpires that will not call the knee-high or in that area a ball across the plate a strike, and then you'll see another umpire, hey, if it's knee-high and it's across the plate, it is a strike, and there's no consistency in that, you know.
The only sport I've ever officiated, it was baseball, like, you know, being like a high school kid doing like the summer league games. It's hard. Like calling balls and strikes, it's not fun. It's not something – I did it enough to know that – I didn't enjoy doing it. Like it was too much work for me. Like it's a hard thing to do. It looks so simple, but the ball comes in so fast. There's just so many different moving parts to it. So every time that I see people getting agitated with a home plate umpire, I just always think, well, if you think you could do better, I'm sure they'll give you your mask and you can go back there and try.
I've offered my mask to a couple people before, yeah. and they've turned me down.
They refused. Very intelligently refused.
But, you know, when you have the drop ball, you've got the curve ball, you've, you know, got all kinds of other pitches coming in, you have to be on top of it. You know?
Yeah. And the one thing that the home plate umpire can see that nobody in the stands can see is where that ball's at when it crosses the plate, because that's what determines if it's a strike. A lot of times, it looks good where the catcher caught it, but it doesn't matter where the catcher caught it.
That's exactly right. That's what that plate's there for.
Right.
And that black on the plate's a strike.
Yeah.
You know, but some people still complain about that. And if it's a 15-0 ball game, that strike zone gets very big.
Managers anymore, and I think fans in general and the ball players in general, realize what's going on. For instance, a week or so ago, Yadier Molina was obviously out at the plate, but the umpire called him safe, and Messini says, well, we've had those go against us, so we'll take this, and, you know.
And
that's the way that you have to look at it.
Obviously the one thing that professional umpires have the benefit of that high school players don't is they can use a replay system on certain things, but I guess it also works against them on the plays they can't replay. Everyone else sees the replay, and then, of course, you get all the cussing and discussing about whether they were right or wrong. And I guess as an umpire or an official, Louis, you just have to kind of be like a closer. Short memory, forget about it, and move on to the next play.
Right. You have to forget it. You can't carry on. And just like managers or coaches, you know, if something went against you in the first inning, don't be talking about it in the seventh inning. Right. It's over with.
Yeah,
look to the future. It's gone.
I guess that's probably the easiest way for a coach to get run.
Mm-hmm.
Like bringing up something that happened way earlier in the game when it's not going well later in the game.
Exactly.
And what's the difficulty level, Louis, in doing games, basketball, football, whatever? Say you got a football game and the score, you're in the third quarter or the fourth quarter and the score's 40-0. How tough is it for you as an official to keep yourself up and keep doing the game just like it was 6-6?
Well, that's when stupid things are going to happen, to be honest with you. That's when the players are going to try to something dirty, you know, whatever might transpire on the field, you still have to be on top of it. All you're wanting to do is have that clock run down to 00 and walk off the field. But, you know, with football, you do have that 40-point spread. So if it is a 40-0 ball game, you do have the continuous clock, which makes a big difference. But, you know, you definitely have to stay on top of your game, even if it is a 40-0 ball game and you don't want to be there. You still are there, and you have to officiate the game to the best of your ability.
And, of course, that's when players get hurt and stuff. You know, it makes a different game out of it. But it's interesting, and certainly my hat goes off to you, Louie, and all the officials, because I know what a difficult task it is and how scrapped everybody is now to get officials for all the sports. So just think of all you do. All the games in high school, and every night they have to have officials there, and they're hard to come by.
And they're getting harder to come by because a lot of people are getting older and retiring. You know, I'm in my mid-50s, and, you know, I won't be able to do it for the next 20 years. That's my goal, to do it for possibly the next 20 years. But, you know, I mean, we are getting older, and these younger kids, you know, don't really want to get involved. I think the main thing is it's too much work.
Yeah, it is work.
And when I was a kid, I didn't mind working, and I still don't mind working.
And with all the female sports we have now, it has always been my amazement that we haven't had more young ladies maybe want to get into it, but they don't seem to be interested in getting into it, very many of them.
Well, a lot of the ladies that have got into it have got out within 4 or 5 years because they just don't like the pressure. They don't like the fans yelling at them, the coaches, you know, getting upset at some of the calls, et cetera. But, you know, as I tell coaches and fans, and I'll say it right now, is that if you don't have officials, you're not going to play the game.
Yeah. No. And commitment. Commitment's a big word, but you have to have it from the officials. And perhaps on the ladies, from the ladies' standpoint, as you said, they do it 4 or 5 years, and then husbands and families and stuff come along. So there's a lot of side things come along that perhaps enters into their decision to not do it any longer.
Well, considering family, you do have to have family that's behind you. Yeah. And I do thank my wife, Teresa, for her support. You know, we've been married for almost 28 years, and in my wedding vows was for officiating or not. We've been married 28 years, and I'm still officiating. We're still married. So it works, and she does have to support me because at times if I get a phone call at 2:15, you know, in the afternoon, if I'm not doing nothing, you know where I'm going.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm going to the ball field.
Now, will she go and watch you?
She goes periodically. Yeah. She went with me to the Super Sectional in softball down at Ren Lake College when Nashville played T-Town on Memorial Day. And then she expects me to take her out to eat afterwards, so there goes my paycheck. But, you know, I do thank her for her support that she gives me, because you do have to have an understanding wife. And when my two daughters were growing up at home, you know, she took care of them while Dad was out, you know, officiating. But you do have to have an understanding family to let you officiate.
And you you saw two pretty competitive programs when you saw Nashville and T-Town.
Oh, it was a heck of a ball game. Beautiful day, beautiful complex. You couldn't ask for anything better. You hated to see, you know, T-Town go down to defeat 3-0, but what a ball game.
Yeah.
And you've seen some great championship-level softball games over the years.
Oh, definitely. Yes, you do. And those are things that you carry with you for a lifetime.
Is there one in particular that sticks out to you that – you know, whether it was just a great 1-0 pitcher's duel, or maybe it was a slugfest, whatever it may be, just one game in the postseason that just kind of maybe stands out above the rest of them?
Well, I think that the first one that comes to mind is my first state game that I did in softball 2 years ago. You know, just walking on the field, knowing that you're doing a state championship series game, it was an honor and a privilege to be at that ball field on that day. And are you a little nervous? Of course you are. You got some things going through your stomach? Of course you do, because it's a big ball game. And, you know, I just thank God that I had the ability to be able to do that game. And it went an 11-inning ball game, so that's a game that you'll never forget, a 3-2 ball game. And, you know, those things are something that you carry with you for the rest of your life.
Hey, if you're going to do your first day game, you might as well get extra innings, right?
That's right. My second game was extra innings, too, so I got my money's worth.
And the state tournament, correct me if I'm wrong, but Peoria.
You said East Peoria, the East Side Center.
That's beautiful.
Beautiful complex.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. And this year, you may not be aware, but with the rain and everything that was transpiring in East Peoria that first weekend in June, they actually played the state third-place game and championship game on Sunday this year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's very unusual for the IHSA to be playing on Sunday, but there was more rains coming in on Monday and Tuesday, so they actually played the third-place and championship game for 1A, 2A on Sunday.
And I think one of those games even had to be shortened. I think it was only a five-inning game, and
Correct.
It was a one-run ball game, and that's the thing about the spring sports. You never know how Mother Nature is going to play a factor. And it wound up this year where there was really a lot of regular season games that got canceled. Now, from an official's perspective, when you get a wet spring like we had, what does that do to your schedule? I mean, it has to just completely toss it up in the air.
My wife thinks I'm nuts, but a lot of other people do too. But I book 6 days a week in the spring thinking it's going to rain. But when it doesn't rain, you're on the ball field every day.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's my own fault because I do my own scheduling. But this year I definitely cannot remember that I was on the field for six straight days at any time. But, you know, I do mostly softball, and, you know, they usually play a JV game afterwards. So you're doing a doubleheader every day. So there's a possibility that, you know, you could be doing 12, 14 games in a week if Mother Nature holds off.
Now, I know once the game starts, you're in control of – when it stops related to the weather. Now, before the game starts, in terms of conditions of the field and those types of things, that is up to the home team?
That is correct. But once the first pitch is thrown, it is our responsibility to take over from there.
And the lightning rules for the IHSA have changed in the last few years, have they not? There's now a longer amount of time between.
It's a 30-minute time frame that you have to wait. But let's say you're on your 27th minute and another streak comes, you're going another 30 minutes. Good example of that, I was at Cumberland High School this past fall. We started the game. Lo and behold, it was lightning, rain, torrential rain came. We finally started the game at 10 o'clock that night. I got home about 1:30 in the morning, had JFL the next morning at 11. But, hey, I'm young, and I can do it still. But, you know, just things like that is that we were in the 27th minute of the first lightning delay, and another lightning storm came. So you had to wait another 30 minutes. And then, of course, you know, you're into that in 15 minutes, and here comes another lightning storm. But we actually had a three-hour delay before we started the varsity football game. And field conditions that night were not the best. It was terrible. And then fog came in the fourth quarter. Oh. Coaches were yelling, hey, that was a hold. I said, yeah, it probably was. But, hey, it's foggy out here. You can't see. But we did get the game in, and, you know, that's all that matters.
What's the rule when it comes to canceling a game like that? Is that the official's call, or is that still up to the home team when it's in a delay before it starts?
We usually get with the coaches, and we had a time frame that if it did not start, we were not going to start after 10 o'clock. We had determined that up front. So, I mean, it was pretty well agreed upon by both coaches. They didn't want to come back the next day on Saturday because, here again, officials, where are you going to get them at? You've got JFL, you've got underclass football, you've got college football, et cetera, going on. But they both coaches wanted to get the game in as an official. No, you really don't want to sit in Cumberland for 3 hours at the high school doing nothing. But, you know that whenever you sign that contract, that's your commitment. You got to be there.
Sounds good. We have hit the bottom of the hour on your Saturday morning. We need a break. More with Louis Lane coming up next.
WSMI will be broadcasting live from the Hillsborough Area Hospital's Independence Fund Day on June 29th. Hillsborough Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare.
Don't miss the annual Staunton Homecoming, Friday, June 28th through Sunday, June 30th. Encouraging you to attend the Staunton Homecoming are the Staunton Volunteer Fire Department, Moore's Barbershop in Staunton, Henry's Route 66 Services in Staunton, Max B. Mullins and Mayfield's Landscaping in Staunton, and R&B's Family Restaurant in Staunton. Don't miss the annual Staunton Homecoming, Friday, June 28th through Sunday, June 30th.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60-to-80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
See the Bruce Webb Insurance Agency in Farmersville or Raymond.
June is National Dairy Month, so let's hear it for America's cows, especially the ones that work for farmer-owned Prairie Farms. Depending on her care and inherited ability, one cow will produce anywhere from 8,000 to 30,000 pounds of milk a year. That's almost 14,000 quarts. That's a lot of Prairie Farms butter, sour cream, cottage cheese, yogurt, and new fat-free half and half. Thanks, girls! And here's to all the other Prairie Farms workers who make sure the products we buy are top quality. Taste the homemade goodness of farmer-owned Prairie Farms.
Choices made.
I've done it 100 times.
Right now, this very moment.
I wasn't that drunk.
Will decide the rest of your life.
I think about it every day.
With consequences that can never be reversed. If you drink and drive, you will lose your license. You will go to jail. Drive sober or get pulled over.
This message brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation, Division of Traffic Safety.
And at 9:34, Sports Saturday continues. Once again, here's Tim Mize and Uncle Ralph.
So, but not thank you very much, and back here on Sports Saturday with Louie Lang and Uncle Ralph. Louie is really one of the good guys. We get to meet a lot of people in doing what we do, and Louie Lang really is one of the most kind-hearted people that you could ever hope to meet. I mean, he would literally, if you said, "Hey, Louie, I need that shirt you're wearing," he'd take it right off his back and give it to you.
Well, not because Louie Lang is sitting across the table from us here, but I've had the opportunity over the years to watch Louie officiate several different high school sports, and he's the same gentleman at every game. And when I say gentleman, I say that sincerely, Louie. You are a gentleman, and you conduct yourself that way on the floor, on the field, and off the floor and off the field. You're the same guy, and that says a lot about not only an official, but just a plain old human being.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that from both you guys. And, you know, I was raised in a good Christian home. I had a good upbringing and married a good Christian girl. And, you know, we tried to raise our girls in that same respect. And I definitely thank you, gentlemen, for that compliment. I value that very much. And I thank you very much.
Well, it's 100% true.
I wanted to tell you a while ago, and you said you'd been married 28
years. It's close 20, to it.
28 years. I just wanted to tell you, you got a ways to go, because August the 8th, wife and I'll be married 60.
Uh-oh. We'll catch you. Don't worry. Yeah. We'll catch you.
Now, Louie, Uncle Ralph said something a moment ago that don't usually go hand in hand. Official gentleman. It's not a job that lends itself to being nice, isn't the right word, because a lot of officials are good people and nice. But when you're doing the job, it's hard to have that kind of relaxed demeanor to where you're not just red-faced and just letting everything get to you. You mentioned your Christian upbringing and, you know, your faith, how it drives your life. I would imagine that is probably the main reason that you're able to conduct yourself like you do when you're officiating, because people get nasty to officials.
Oh, they do. And, you know, perfect example, a few years ago, I walked out on the court and I heard one of the players say, "Well, we can't use God's name in vain tonight because Louie Lang's officiating." That makes me feel good.
Yeah.
As a Christian, that makes me feel good. And I don't want him to use God's name in vain anyway. You know, I don't put up with nothing. You know, I usually give a decent warning. Then if they keep doing what they're doing, you know, you got to take care of business accordingly to the IHSA rules.
Yeah, and that just comes under common sense heading of keeping the game under control.
Exactly.
You can't, as an official, I don't care if you're an official officiating a tiddlywinks tournament, you can't let it get out of control, because once you lose control of a game, you've lost it.
And you can't let it get under your skin.
No.
Move
absolutely
on.
Not.
How
absolutely
would a tiddlywinks not tournament get out of control? What kind of tiddlywinks tournaments are you attending, Uncle Ralph?
Well, they can get out of control.
I shudder to think.
They can get out of control.
Well, you see in the newspapers and on the radio, you know, incidents where volunteer umpires have been attacked by parents. You know, those little games like Uncle Ralph's talking about, those are some of the worst, because yeah, you don't have certified guys out there, and they can get out of control pretty quick.
Well, there was just that terrible story a few weeks ago, I think, in Utah, where that soccer official died after a kid punched him in the head.
Yeah. And you know, every once in a while, you get a wake-up call, I guess. A few years back, Major League Baseball got a wake-up call when the umpires were on strike, and they had to use fill-in officials and stuff. And you realize, though you don't always agree with these guys, the professionals, but you realize how important they are to the game.
Well, it really showed in that NFL official strike. That was, that was not good.
No.
When my wife, Teresa, goes to a contest with me, she knows when I'm about to get my fill. She can, you know, she's been with me long enough that, you know, my hat's about to come off and the technical or the 15-yard unsportsmanlike penalty is about to come. But, you know, I don't go into the game looking for stuff.
Right.
You go in open-minded. You know, even though I had trouble with, you know, Coach X 2 weeks ago, Coach X isn't in my mind anymore. You know, you go into that with an aspect that, you know, hey, I'm going to go out, do the best job I can, may the best team win. And 2 days from now, I don't want them to know who officiated that game.
Right.
It was
And that goes in marriage too, Louie. And I'm sure you're like me. You're very well aware when your wife's had about enough, you know, that you just kind of put it in reverse and back up a little.
That's true. That's right.
Louie Lang joining us here on WSMI Sports. That I had something I was going to say, and you totally made me lose my train of thought.
Yeah, yeah.
What was I going to say to you, Louie? I can't remember what I really can't remember what I was going to say. Now, that's terrible. So we'll just move on to this. I know we were talking earlier about the need for young officials and how, I mean, when you go to a high school game, you look at the average age of the official. It's not in the 20s.
No.
It may not even be in the 30s. I mean, a lot of the officials have been doing it for a long time. And I know that you have an association that is really trying to get young people involved in officiating.
Right. I started the Mid-State Officials Association several years ago just to have something in this area to assist people. Area athletic directors know that they could call me on a given day and that I pretty well know who's available. I can obtain an official in an emergency situation or even maybe as a crew, as happened in Litchfield back in the fall. But, you know, I am happy to help these guys out. You know, you scratch their back, they scratch yours. It's that simple. You know, it's a two-way street. You know, you help them, they help you.
Let's talk about a little lighter side of the sporting complex, Louie. You've been doing it for years and years and years, and I'm sure you will agree with me. Playing facilities at the high school level, we've seen a tremendous increase in the quality of softball and baseball fields. And football fields, too, and a lot of schools have got new stadiums, so there's been quite an upswing in the quality of the places that they play.
Oh, definitely, and, you know, the quality of the players has increased so much over the past few years also. Some of these schools that you go to, I mean, it's just unbelievable, you know, the places that they play in. Some of these football field stadiums, I mean, they're just unbelievable. It's like a college stadium. But, you know, then again, you go to some schools that just barely have enough pylons to, you know, have the yard markers, too. I mean, some of them are in bad shape and others are in good shape, but that all falls back into the school district. And, you know, at least they're still playing football or other sports.
When we talk of high school facilities, and it's just one of many, but I always think having the opportunity of being there to watch a high school game is the stadium down at DuQuoin. The football stadium there.
Well, I was down in the spring, early spring, for a softball tournament down there, and their softball and baseball is comparable to their football field now. They have done an immaculate job on their baseball and softball field. In fact, they hosted a sectional tournament down in softball this year, and their facilities are just immaculate.
And that's good to see.
Definitely.
You know, you want the kids. The kids are out there playing a competitive sport, whatever it is, and you want them to have a decent facility to participate on.
Right. Well, they got a grass infield for the softball team. And, you know, the way I got into DuQuoin was they were playing in a tournament at Mulberry Grove a couple years ago, and the coach came up and says, "What's it take to get you to DuQuoin?" A phone call. You know,
yeah.
Just call me. If I'm open, I'll come help you.
A grass infield and a softball field. That is rare, right?
It is, definitely. Yeah,
it's very rare.
Yes, it is.
Very rare.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen that.
They didn't have many rainouts, though.
I bet not.
You know,
we really saw that this year at Litchfield with the grass infield. They were able to play on days this spring when nobody else was in the being able to get on the field. I remember we had a game scheduled. I thought, there's no way they're going to play at Litchfield. They played.
Mm-hmm.
And that when they built that field, you know, it was well engineered and it drains well. It drains well, even though, as you say, the grass infield, but it does drain well. So.
Well, there was that day up, and it was a sectional, Southwestern and Pleasant Plains for that championship. Oh, that grass infield up there at Plains, what a fabulous diamond up there at Pleasant Plains. But, I mean, it rained all day. I mean, they were literally squeegeeing water off the field, had pumps going, and they played a few hours later than they had anticipated, but they got the ball game in, and that was one of those deals. I remember we were talking to the umpire before the game. He's like, looking pretty good. He's like, I think we'll get it in.
Mm-hmm. But it's a long day.
A long day.
Yeah. Yeah, when you leave home, Louis, to go to do a game that's supposed to be at 7 o'clock in the evening, and I'm speaking of football, and you have rain delays or whatever, and you don't get started until 9 o'clock or so, it makes a long night.
It does. Definitely does. And, you know, I had a sectional tournament over at Hardin-Calhoun, and all of us know there's no good way to get to Hardin-Calhoun.
No.
From Colfine or Hillsboro or even Bunker Hill. But, you know, I ventured over there on a Saturday morning, beautiful day, bottom of the first inning. Guess what happened? The rains came. So we had a two-hour-and-a-half rain delay, and it was too wet to play. But, of course, they had to get that game in because super sectionals were scheduled for Monday. So they moved the sectional championship to Monday, and, of course, that messes everything up, you know, with the other schools that were playing. But, you know, then at that time, the IHSA has to make a decision. Well, Louis Lang's supposed to be at the sectional championship at Hardin-Calhoun on Monday, but then he's got a super sectional at Inis. So, of course, they kept me on the super sectional and replaced me with another umpire at Hardin-Calhoun. But, you know, those things happen.
And that's quite a setting there at Hardin-Calhoun where that school is down there in that valley-like.
Well, I did a football game over there week two of the 2012 football season, and if you remember week two of the football season, it was a torrential downfall. The rains just kept coming. They decided to play. They were playing a team that had like a two-and-a-half – Minden Unity, I believe it was. They had like a two-and-a-half-hour drive. They wanted to get the game in. I walked out of the dressing room, walked maybe 5 feet, and water was already dripping off my hat just in those 5 or 10 steps that I took. But we got the game in. My uniform was washed 2 or 3 times to get it clean, but, you know, we got the game in and had a winner.
Louis Lang joining us here on WSMI Sports Saturday. We need one more break. We're back in just a moment.
You want better markets and better service to maximize your return per acre, access to competitive bids, specialty grain programs, and a state-of-the-art dumping facility all in one location? The Schooler Company in Waverly has the resources and the staff to help you get the most for your operation. Give the Schooler Company in Waverly a call at 435-2361 or toll-free at 877-435-2361 or visit johnsongrain.com.
If you have an injury that needs rehabilitation, you need to consider the therapists at Teamwork Rehab. Teamwork Rehab's Hillsboro location offers the only aquatic therapy in Montgomery County. Aquatic therapy provides effective therapeutic treatment for those who have limited tolerances for traditional land-based rehab. Our therapists in this program hold a variety of certifications in specialized aquatic therapy. At Teamwork Rehab, you'll always get one-on-one individualized therapy by a licensed clinician. Give us a call at 532-4160. Teamwork Rehab, a division of Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare.
And at 9:47, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by CarQuest. In Carlinville and Jacksonville, you'll find it at CarQuest. Becoming cloudy and cooler for today. There is a chance for some rain. Expect a high of around 75 degrees. Cloudy skies with a slight chance of rain for tonight. We'll have a low of around 60. For Sunday, cloudy skies, slight chance for rain on Sunday. We'll have a high of around 75 degrees. Extended look at the forecast Monday through Wednesday. Partly cloudy skies, slight chance for rain Monday and Tuesday. Highs will be in the mid-80s, lows will be in the mid-60s. At 9:47, we have a temperature reading of 73 degrees. And the weather forecast is brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Sports Saturday continues in just a minute.
Since 1899, 4 generations of Huffs have been dedicated to serving families in Central Illinois. Today, they continue that tradition of compassion, personal attention, and professional service that started long ago. The Huff family has always tried to place the needs of their families first, to provide them the information to make wise decisions at such a delicate time in their life. Today, Dan and David Huff continue this family tradition. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro, you do have a choice.
Are you spring cleaning? Ever wonder how to tackle the stacks of statements and bills? Sign up for Security National Bank's online and e-statements and view them in your internet banking or download them from our secure site. You can then tackle that stack of bills by using our bill pay, which is free when you sign up for e-statements. Call your local branch to find out more information or sign up today. Security National Bank, big enough to serve you, small enough to know you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
And at 9:49, Sports Saturday continues. And guys, before we send it back to you, we just got a phone call from Roy Hurdle. They've got the Bud Reinecke Golf Tournament going on today in Coffeen. Things are going well, 18 teams, and I guess things are going well. So,
what's the radar screen look like, Tobin?
Clear.
Hey.
So
that's good for everybody. That's good for the golf tournament, and that's good for the farmers in the wheat fields.
And I'm represented down there, Tobin. Roy was at my house this morning about 7:30 picking up my cooker. And
you trusted him with your cooker?
He got a Russian accent now?
He sounded a little bit like Vladimir. He said he tried to get Snowden to come back with him, but...
Didn't happen?
Didn't happen.
Huh, that's weird.
And I said, well, Roy, you got to realize Vladimir and Roy, which choice do I take, you know? And I didn't leave the guy a whole lot of choice.
Just better watch it. He may call you. He may call now. So
yeah,
watch
he
it.
May call.
Yeah, he's busy today.
He's busy flipping butterfly pork chops.
There you go.
Louis Lang is in our WSMI studios. And Louis, there was a night this past football season where you wound up being busy on a night that you were not planning on being busy. Of course, you may remember it was in September.
Yes,
it was. Well, I'll just let you tell the story, Louis. It's kind of a story that has kind of a lore type of feel to where it'll like add to like the aura of Louis Lang.
Well, on September 8th, that Saturday, I did 4 JFL football games in Hillsboro. If you remember that particular week on Friday night, a lot of the games were canceled, postponed until Saturday, and I had the Carlinville at Greenville varsity football game on that Friday night, which was postponed until Saturday. So I did my 4 JFL games in Hillsboro, went down 127 at 55 miles an hour, except when I went through Donaldson. Of course, I met that speed limit also to get there by the 7 o'clock kickoff. In the first quarter, about 4 minutes into the game, it was muddy field. Lo and behold, Mr. Stewart intercepted a pass, turned and go the other direction for a touchdown. I kept up with him for a few steps, and all of a sudden I had a bad hamstring pull. I went down in a way, but I tried to keep my balance. I didn't want everybody in the stands to say, you know, look at that official laying on the field. But later on, I found out from John Michaela that I probably should have fallen down because I just made it that much worse. But at halftime, the Greenville trainer taped my leg, et cetera. I went to the doctor later that week, and I had 3 months of therapy for that particular hurt. And then on the following Friday night, September 14th, I was up weed eating a business there in Coffeen, and my wife comes and says, Ed Roundcount just called needing a football crew. I said, okay, when? She says, now. I says, now? I said, it's 20 to 7 on a Friday night because I'd taken myself off my game that night because of my hamstring pull. I decided that I hate sitting out as much as anything, but I knew that was in the best interest of myself. And she said, the other crew didn't show up. He's sitting at the phone waiting on you. So, Mr. Roundcount, if you're listening, I did take care of you that night. I did go home, called Ed, and he said that the other crew had double booked and that he was in need of a five-man crew, that Staunton football team was there ready to play. So lo and behold, I was able to get 4 other officials. I went hobbling up and down the field. But we did get the game started at approximately 5:10 after 8 with no crew available at 20 to 7. And I told the coaches and the players in the pregame, I said, I shouldn't be out here. I said, I got a bad hamstring pull. Plus, I also pulled my gastric muscle. And I told them that if I got hit throughout the game, that was going to be an automatic 15-yard penalty. That no questions asked. They got a little chuckle out of that. They thought I was joking, but I wasn't. Of course, on the long runs, I was probably 75 yards behind. But, you know, hey, we got the game in. We had a winner. And the game got played, and I was able to assist him in that endeavor.
That kind of just sums up Louis Lang, does it not?
Yes, it does.
Ralph. I mean, it really does.
What I said earlier just exemplifies what the man stands for.
What I want to know is, how, You got that nasty hamstring pull, but yet you're still weed eating?
Well, I've got a little mowing business there in town, and I thought it was a nice, relaxing Friday night. It was a nice, cool night. The wife was at home cleaning the house, so I just thought I'd get out of her way to go do a little yard work. And, at least to weed eating, you don't have to run. I thought it was kind of funny when Teresa came up and told me that Ed Roundcount needs a crew, and I said, when? And she says, now. So, I got two guys to come from Collinsville. One from Gillespie and one from Greenville, and then myself from Coffeen. So we did have a 5-man crew at Litchfield.
And I would imagine that's a situation where your Midwest Officials Association came into play.
It definitely did. Yes, it did. Yes.
Explain to our listeners a little bit, Louis. You said you were able to come up with four other officials and yourself and get the game in and get it taken care of. Your crew, do you have basically the same crew? I'm speaking of football now. Each time you officiate, or do you have different people?
On Friday night, we pretty well have the same crew. I pull within, we basically travel within a 2-hour radius of Coffeen. We'll go to Marion, Carbondale. We'll go to Charleston. We'll go as far to Alney, the White Squirrel Country over in that area. So basically a 2-hour radius on a Friday night, we'll travel. But on Friday night, we pretty well have our set 5-man crew. Let's say another school might be in a bind. I may divvy up a couple of experienced officials to go with three officials that aren't so experienced. But some nights on Friday night, I send out three crews on a Friday night, up to 15 guys, to assist schools in the football game.
When you talk of a 2-hour radius or whatever, for instance, we were talking a while ago of DuCoin and stuff. Do you see when you go to DuCoin or Marion or down that area, they always talk about Southern Illinois football. Is it more aggressive, more physical in your mind than, say, Central Illinois or anywhere else?
Well,
it's something.
I think it is something. That's a good way to sum it up. It is something. Some of the facilities down there are just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Marion, for example, they had a beautiful complex, and they tore the field up, putting down AstroTurf. And Marion's been very successful the past few years. And lo and behold, I am a graduate of Marion High School. And the athletic director called me a couple of weeks ago, telling me that the field was going to be ready this year. And I'm going to be one of the first, I am going to be the first crew on that new field. And that makes me feel pretty good that, I'm a graduate of MHS, and also I get to do their first game in their new complex.
Mm-hmm. That is neat.
That's good. That's
great. When will that be?
That will be the second week of the football season.
Second week of this football season.
Of this football season, 2013 season,
okay.
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to have to get you on the sports show that following morning, see how it went.
Yeah, I look forward to it. And I appreciate your coverage with the sports in Central Illinois. I mean, you always give the officials a good hand. And if it wasn't for us, the game, as I said, wouldn't be played. But I never hear a negative comment from you guys, Tim and Uncle Ralph and Terry and whoever else broadcast. And we do appreciate what you do for us because, it's a full-time job. It really is.
Well, it's a full-time job, and it's a hard job. I mean, it really is one of those jobs, and you hear it all the time. It looks so much easier when you're sitting in the stands.
Yeah,
I mean, there's nothing.
Does.
It's like even when you're just watching the game. You sit down and you watch a Major League Baseball game. It looks so easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ah, we'll just swing at that pitch for you, bum.
Yeah.
It's like, well, maybe because it was coming in at 97 miles an hour, then cut at the very last second. Everything looks easier when you're not doing it. And it's so easy to get on an official, oh, you blew that call, you missed that call. But until you walk a mile in a man's shoes, so to speak, you really just don't know.
That's true.
One thing that WSMI, Louis, can be very proud of here, and you hear our leader, Terry Tote, talk about it all the time, America's high school sports leader. And we are. We do more games. You don't find any other radio station that sets in an air like we do that comes anywhere near doing the amount of high school games that this station does.
And it's always good to see you guys in the stands. I usually try to get eye contact with you, before the game or at halftime or something, and you guys give me thumbs up, and, that makes me feel good, and, I appreciate, what you guys do.
Now, Lou, I know we've talked about your the hamstring game, I guess, is what we can start to call it. But I believe this past basketball season, you blew a tire, did you not? Didn't you have a shoe?
Yes, I
blow out on you this
year? I try not to remember some things, but thanks, Tim, for bringing
welcome.
That up.
Hey,
I'd put out a brand new pair of shoes. First time I'd ever worn them in a Hillsboro High School game, and I kept going up and down the court. I thought, well, what's this on the court? But honest to goodness, I did blow out a shoe, a brand new pair, $95 pair of Reeboks. I don't know how or why, but, you know, those things happen. And a lot of the fans and even the radio announcer got a kick out of that that night. But, you know, hey, life goes on.
Right.
You know, I treat you the way you treat me, and, you know, that's the way that life goes on.
I mean, I guess to really, if you were going to sum up an official, the way I would sum it up is you kind of just have to roll with the punches. How would you, like, the life of a high school official, if you had to sum it up as we're running out of time here, we got about a minute left. If you had to sum up what it's like to be a high school official, how would you do it?
Well, for my 37-plus years, I can say that I've enjoyed most of my officiating years. There's some that you remember that you try to forget. One thing that I always enjoy is when I have the Hillsboro High School girls game. My wife, Teresa, is the official scorer. I'm refereeing the games, and it's always good, you know, to see her there at the bench, and especially when WSMI is in the stands on top of it. I mean, that just makes the night even brighter. But all in all, I've enjoyed what I'm doing. You have to be dedicated. You have to be in shape. You have to stay on top of the rules. And if there's anyone out there that would like to be an official, contact me. Call WSMI. They'll get in contact with me, and I will, you know, make the necessary calls because we are in need of officials.
Louis Lang, thank you so much for coming in for Sports Saturday this morning. This was a great hour to talk about officiating, and we will see you on the gridiron in the fall.
September 10th, JFL, here I come.
All right. For Tobin, Uncle Ralph, and Louis Lang, I am Tim. Sports Saturday is done. On